If you've ever found yourself sitting outside sipping your favorite beverage as the sun sets, listening to the romantic Spanish-style guitar of Brian Lubeck, then it's safe to say that he's achieved his objective. Brian has a way of delivering urban grooves and fiery flamenco flavor with elegance. You've heard his critically acclaimed works on the radio. You've read about him in Billboard and Rolling Stone. And during the COVID lockdown, he had many incredible live Zoom experiences with some of his legendary musical idols, some of which included him playing with them live. He has a sound of his own. One of his superpowers is his marketing expertise, and he's so creative with how he gets his work out into the world. We had a great conversation where he told me about how his difficult childhood led him to a most auspicious teacher who would be a catalyst for his unique journey as a musician. He also told me about how, in his conversation with Seal, they agreed that the time during the lockdown became the great equalizer. And the great news is that he has a new album entitled Midnight Sun, dropping on August 30th. Hello, Brian Lubeck. Welcome to The Sauce.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. It's been a while.
It has. It has. I think the last time we were playing some music, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was. That was a great night. Yeah, we had, we had Wyclef Gordon, right?
Yeah,
playing trombone. Yeah, that was a beautiful night. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Brian, I'm so excited to talk to you today. You know, you've been on the music scene, and I think you have an amazing story. You know, you're critically acclaimed. You've got crazy radio play. You've got chart-topping music. And I know that this is in the smooth jazz space, but have you been able to cross over into other areas?
Yeah, I mean, I do vocals, you know, but I learned early on, you know, sometimes, you know, I do what I do, right? With music, we all, if you're an artist, you're going to do what you do. But I do kind of have many interests, so that comes out in different ways. So I, even though I'm known as a guitarist, I really started as a vocalist and as a singer and dancer back many pounds ago.
Wow.
let's just be real about that. They're going like, he can't do a pirouette. I can do three, but not at 200 pounds. But, you know, I've had some luck in adult contemporary and new age because I do, you know, I like to do kind of chill music.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, what I found out was when I did my first album was a vocal album, and I think it sold, 58 copies, you know? And then I came out with my first instrumental album, and it like took off with like 10,000, 12,000 copies. And so it didn't take a rocket scientist to go like, hey, you might want to stay in the instrumental realm, which for me, it's a good thing. You know, it's somewhat ageless, you know, like many of the other formats, you might have a good 5 years or a 10-year lifespan, right, before, you know, sort of the new look comes in or the new sound. But I've been very fortunate to be in the genre that I've been put into. And I guess I should back it up. So up until 12, I was very transient. I had a mother that wasn't well. We switched locations a lot. I even ended up in some foster homes for a while. And she had gotten me a guitar, I don't even know when, maybe when I was 2, 3. And I didn't know how to play it. But no matter where I went, that was the one consistent thing. I had a guitar under my bed. And when life finally calmed down, my grandparents adopted me. They got me a music teacher, and they knew that I always had this guitar with me, and they're like, okay, do you want to learn how to play guitar? We've got a teacher. And I'm like, yep, let's do it. And that's, you know, if I go way back, that's where it started. And then from there, I was very fortunate to have a teacher who also taught drums, piano, bass, and mandolin.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely brilliant. And I mean, clearly the flamenco style, the classical Spanish style, resonated with you because you play it with such integrity. You would think that that was, you know, in your cells somewhere in your, you know, DNA.
Yeah, who know, previous lives, I don't know. And it's interesting because other than, you know, cable TV, not to date myself, but, you know, cable TV was just coming out and PBS was just coming out, right? And I did get some exposure to Chet Atkins, who, even though he was country, was a phenomenal fingerstyle guitarist.
Right.
I got exposure to Jose Feliciano, yeah. You know? And so I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it. But man, a kid from Goshen, Indiana, I don't know where all that came from, but somehow that's, you know, I think artistry is all of your experiences and what you know, and then that X factor of talent kind of squeezed out into its own Kool-Aid, you know, like Kool-Aid flavor, right? It's a bunch of different ingredients and flavor. And then who knows how that's going to come out, but I feel fortunate that there's a lot of people that seem to respond to it.
Well, I was tapping into what you had going on, especially during the early days of the COVID lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it blew me away when I saw that you started doing Zoom meetings and like having these amazing experiences with these artists. And, you know, you talked about, well, you did Michael McDonald. Right. I mean, the list goes on, but how did that even start?
Well, I have two passions in life, I guess, or two vocations. You know, many of us, you're lucky to find one. You know, I'm really fortunate that I found a couple that I really like. And one is music. And one is, I love to market. And I think that's, you know, there's so many great artists out there. Maybe that's what helped me a little bit, as I kind of think in two different ways. I think pure artistry, but then once that's done, I think, well, how do I get it out there? How do I market it? Because I wouldn't do something if I didn't think it was valuable to other people. So it's, again, it's not an ego thing. It's more like, how do I get this thing that I have created for other people to those other people? And so marketing, I think, is part of that. And I became a technology marketing person. So like I've marketed for Microsoft and other large IT companies, but I've kept those lives very separate. You know, I will combine them in my heart. You know, when I'm doing music, it's like, okay, yeah, I know how I need to do PR and advertising and marketing because of this other life. And then the same thing with marketing. I know how to be creative and open and, you know, unashamed of coming up with ideas that may mm-hmm. not work, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the music. And so both of my lives have benefited from that. And then this was the first time where they actually came together, because in one moment, I call it, you know, the pandemic was the great equalizer. Seal and I talked about this. This was kind of, as we were talking, I'm like, I feel like it's the great equalizer. And he goes, Brian, yes. But, you know, the thought is we all like lost everything, you know, in an instant. And, you know, so on one side, I knew that musicians were hurting, and not just musicians like Sheryl Crow or Seal or whoever, but Ooh. All of the support people, the lighting Ooh. People, the guitar techs, Seal will be fine. He's got residual income, right?
Yeah,
but not all of his staff, right? And all the support people. And then on the flip side of that, we couldn't do marketing because my marketing expertise is around live events. Well, we can't do live events. So, you know, there were some other things that happened that made me put the dots together. But what I eventually came up with was, and I did this with my boss at one of the IT firms called Nutanix. They're a big IT company. And I just said, yeah, we're trying to get customers to come hear the IT message, but they're surrounded by their family. They're not going to want to come on and like listen to an hour of technology jumble, right? So I'm like, well, why don't we just do, you know, 10 or 15 minutes? And then at first, like, I didn't even know I could get anybody. I'm like, I think I can get Colby Calais because I know her people, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, but the premise was, 10 minutes of IT technology you can use today, like, because the IT people were struggling too. It's like, how are we going to support all these people working from home? And that's what Nutanix technology does. So we wanted to give them that useful information. And then how do we bring joy and some kind of hope to their lives? And then how do we help the music industry? And it just struck me that all of that came together and I could bring both lives together to do something good. So I started calling agents and people that I knew, and you know, if you remember, all of a sudden everybody was supposed to be working from home. None of the entertainment agents even knew how to forward their freaking phone from the office to their home. Like, I was calling up the offices and nobody's returning calls. Finally, I got a hold of a great agent, and we're still like tight after a year and a half. And I said, here's my idea. And he's like, I don't even know what to offer these musicians. Like, who knows what the price is for doing a Zoom from your house, right? So I just said, well, let's put it at a third. I mean, why not? Because I'm like, they don't have to travel. They don't have to spend multiple days to come to a corporate gig. Right. And then I said, who are the artists that are interesting, write their own music, and actually can play their own music? Because at that time, I didn't even know whether they could have their pianist come into the house and accompany them, right? It had to be, might be them on their phone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I reached out to Colby Calais. She said, yeah, I'll do it. Let's try it. John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, yeah. Seal, and Sheryl Crow was the first four. And we just all figured it out together. They're tech people, us, and we had a great time. You know, I would do them individually and we'd talk for 45 minutes or so. They'd play a song. We talk about the industry. I'd take some questions from the audience, but really it was a fireside chat. And then it went so well, like massive companies like Adobe were calling us saying, hey, how are you doing this? And yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. so then we did Lindsey Buckingham, Daryl Hall. I mean, the list goes on. Kenny Loggins. And here I am on Zoom. And by the way, you know, like a month earlier, I'm like, do I even have a job in any of my, you know, lives? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it comes together and I'm now in the most difficult of times. I'm talking to the people that I listened to growing up that were my inspirations. I'm chatting with freaking Kenny Loggins.
Oh, I can't
talking
even
about, you know, and he's like, well, what do you want me to play when we're doing, you know, pre-show, you know, the week before? I'm like, I really want House of Pooh Corner. He's like, nobody listens to that song anymore. I'm like, yeah, they do. And so he played that. It was
magic.
Unreal.
It was pure magic.
Josh Groban's music director accompanied Kenny Loggins in his house, so we had to talk about that. Like, we all just got to talk.
I'm Dawn Burns. You're listening to The Sauce with Brian Lubeck.
Then the surreal moment was Lindsey Buckingham, who's a fingerstyle guitarist, mm-hmm, who plays nylon strings, and a rock guitarist. You know, so he's been one of my idols from day one, because technically he's playing a classical guitar. It's just electrified, and it's fingerstyle. So I interviewed him. This is when I knew Seal was like the first time he'd done an online thing. That was fun. He's taking us on a tour of his house with his laptop. Daryl Hall, it's the first time he'd sung since the pandemic. You know, it was just all these incredible first moments. Mm-hmm. But the biggest one was Lindsey Buckingham, you know, from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
We got done with, you know, that was the only one where I was sort of starstruck. The rest were all just, you know, we're just talking like you and I, because we're all human, right? And we're all equal now, right? Because it's the pandemic.
Right.
So we're just talking. And then after the day after the Lindsey Buckingham show, and these are all private, so they're not allowed to be on YouTube because of licensing issues and all kinds of other things. So this is a private corporate event. The next day, I see that I'm on Rolling Stone magazine. I'm in Rolling Stone magazine online, but still that's huge. Now, right?
Yeah.
And it's because somebody had recorded that, put it on YouTube, and no one had heard Lindsey Buckingham sing or play the guitar in a year and a half because he had heart surgery. His wife had said that his vocal cords were damaged, so nobody even knew whether he would ever be able to sing. Wow. And here I am. I'm his first interview, performance, all of that. And then I'm right beside him in a screenshot on Rolling Stone magazine website.
So Ridiculous. Beautiful. What a wonderful gift that you tapped into.
And my main thing was I think the secret sauce was I wanted, obviously, to bring IT information that, think about this, you're an IT guy or gal, and you're supporting, I don't know, 500 people in an office, you know, making sure the network's good. All of a sudden somebody goes, hey, they're working from home tomorrow. Okay, well, now I got to buy 500 laptops. I got to figure out how to securely connect them. I've got to create. So we wanted to give IT people information they could use, but also bring some kind of hope and joy to them and their families. And the third part that was just as equal to me was I realized that we were bringing some hope and joy to these artists, even Seal, you know, even Vince Gill, because they're all like, Vince Gill said it's the first time he hasn't been on the road in, you know, since he was like 10, right? Ooh. And they're just kind of, what do we do? And Kenny Loggins was like, man, I've lost my calluses. This is the first time I haven't had calluses in ever, you know, for his fingers. So we're all dealing with something. And I wanted it to be a good experience for them too and feel like they're able to connect. So,
On your porch, did you write a lot of the music that's coming out on August 30th? You have a new album called Midnight Sun.
You know, that music came to me in very different ways. We had already gotten most of it written by the pandemic, but what the pandemic allowed me to do was refine it in ways maybe that I wouldn't have. I think what's important about music, if you really got a good song, is you don't need a lot to it. And what we as artists sometimes do, especially with technology, is you tend to like layer and put a bunch of stuff in there, make it really dense. And I think what the pandemic allowed me to do was listen to my own stuff on the porch, not, you know, on some pressured deadline, and just go, you know, I don't think we need horns there or, you know, like keyboard. I think we just need to keep it pure and simple. And that it gave me, I think, perspective that I wouldn't have had and I haven't had in my other releases. As successful as they have been, this one's a lot different because of kind of how I approached it and thought about it as we did our final mixes and whatnot.
I think you have chosen the right lane for yourself. And I've really enjoyed speaking with you today. Brian, I can't wait to hear your new album. And best of luck as you go out. And hopefully you'll be touring soon. Will you be out on the road?
Yeah, I think it's starting to open up. I've got a few gigs, in fact, one near South Bend, which I would love to plug. It's, at the end of, July, I believe it's, Saturday, July 23rd or 4th. I don't know. I have to look at a calendar.
24th, I think.
24th, yeah. And it's put on by the Acorn Theater, which I think is a popular, it's one of my favorite venues to be at. But this is not at the theater. During COVID, they started doing outdoor performances at different places. This one is the Acorn Theater, but it's at Fernwood Botanical Gardens in Niles. And I've played there before in my career. I did actually won a show for WVPE probably 9-10 years ago. What an incredible, you're surrounded by trees. I'll have my full touring band. We're going to play stuff off the new album and even have the album available for pre-sale. I mean, we'll have it in hand to give people there before it gets out on Amazon. Beautiful. And every place. So I would love to see a bunch of folks out there enjoying the gardens and some great music.
Yeah, we'll make sure to get out there on July 24th. Thank you so much again, Brian. Peace and love to you.
Peace and love. All right.
I'm Dawn Burns, and you're listening to The Sauce with Brian Lubeck. Up next, I sit down with Mary and Stephen Merriman of Merriman's Playhouse right here in South Bend, Indiana. Stay with us.